We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We mentioned that this is going to be a very busy week. It'll be interesting to see, what kind of crowds we get for NASCAR and for the Legends as they have the NASCAR Folds of 500 at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Legends are going to play the Birmingham Iron. That'll be Sunday events. Hawks by two games Friday and Saturday at State Farm Arena. And, of course, we got Atlanta United beginning on Thursday night down in Costa Rica. So that'll be really fun to do. It is also notable that the Braves are going to be playing baseball on Saturday. So, again, if you can't find something that floats your boat, Hugh, with college basketball, headed towards conference
tournaments.
Something's
wrong with you. And this weekend, what was it? Duke and UNC that play this weekend? Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, yeah. It starts tomorrow, really, because that's going to be a big one. Number one Duke against number eight.
Yeah, Duke went back to number one. Tennessee got worked by Kentucky. Man, and Kentucky beat them something fierce. Tough spot for Tennessee to fall out of the number one spot. Yeah, I can't wait, for college basketball to be, and notwithstanding what Ron Hunter's been able to do at Georgia State, and he's done really well. And I hope that Ron Hunter can win the Sun Belt tournament this year and get us a representative in the tournament. But Georgia Tech and Georgia have been you guys have been holding up your end of the bargain. Okay, I'm just saying. We all know that, because it would be fun if we had a college basketball power around you to.
Wishful thinking.
Yeah,
I think it was only one. It was at Georgia State. That's the only hope that we have right now.
Right now.
And that's a one bid squad, right?
One bid league. Yeah.
Yeah, one bid squad. So yeah.
Yeah, you got to win the Sun Belt tournament, because otherwise you go. If you're the regular season champion and you don't win and you're in the Sun Belt and don't win the conference tournament to go to get the automatic berth, you'll end up in the NIT. Which, everybody knows stands for not in tournament.
Is that what it stands for, John?
Yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah. Because you tell me who won the NIT last year.
Mm-hmm. Did nobody care, but who was it? I know, was it last year that...
I have no idea.
Who went deep in NIT? Was that last year? That was Georgia Tech.
No, 2 years ago, Georgia Tech. Yeah, they went to the championship game, right, and lost.
See, look, that's that's how much I follow
it. Mike Conte's going to... get both of you guys. It was his Penn State Nittany Lions.
Oh, was he? Hey, see, I wouldn't have known that.
Mike Conte, I don't think he would have been hyped about that. I think I know him a little bit. I don't think he'd have been hyped about
that. You don't think he has that NIT championship shirt?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. But anyway, we have a huge weekend ahead. To the Braves here, and we don't know again. It'll be fascinating to find out. This week is going to be loaded with all these events that are going on that we've been kind of laying out, but there's a potential for really big news. Today is the first day that NFL players can be tagged. I don't know if any of them will be tagged today. What will the Falcons say in terms of having a news conference tomorrow? Will they make any more announcements, and what's going to happen with the offseason here? We still speculate as to more player movement that could take place with the Falcons, contractual movement, even players leaving the team, and especially once free agency comes. What would the Falcons do in free agency? The combine's at the end of the month. This is going to be a wild offseason for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're going to say something to the effect that last year was unacceptable, and the fact that they're trying to get back to their winning ways, and they're ready for the season to start, and they're going to be super competitive. I mean, that's the way – I mean, that's really the only thing you can say at this point, John.
Right, no, that's all you can say. I think your analysis of the Braves is right. I mean, a lot of rides on Josh Donaldson and whether or not he can regain his form and come back healthy. And we have every reason to believe that the Braves paid him $23 million for 1 year because they believe that he will. And so, Josh Donaldson in the middle of that lineup, depending on where they're going to bat Ronald Acuna, could give the Braves a lineup that is right now.
Formidable. Formidable lineup.
Yeah. Chip Carey joining us this morning, talking a little bit as the Braves get ready for their First full workout on Thursday, and then, of course, the first game on Saturday against the Mets in Port St. Lucie. And spring training is here. Hey, Chip, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Chip. Chip, do you still get excited for the beginning of baseball around this time?
Oh, of course. I mean, this is, the 2 weeks before Christmas. When everybody's excited to see the gifts under the tree. They see what potentially could be there when Santa Claus comes down the chimney. I think baseball fans feel that way this time of year because you go into spring training not knowing what's going to happen. There's an air of expectation, excitement. Your team, everybody has a chance, at least theoretically on paper. And certainly for Braves country, everybody's excited to see what this team is going to look like defending the Eastern Division Championship. And a division, by the way, that's going to be, as Gordon Solie would say, a pure six ball. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of excitement, a lot of anticipation. Yeah, I know the guys are ready to get going, and I'm still easing my way into that sentiment. But, it's going to be a fun year.
You know what? Speaking of that, because last year, I think one would think going into the season, there wasn't a whole lot of expectations. But this year, that has changed. Could you kind of talk about that a little bit and tell us what are your expectations for this team this year?
Well, I think that's an excellent point. Nobody expected the Braves to do what they did when they did it. I think everyone had a feeling at some point the Braves were going to make the jump and make the jump into playoff contention, playoff respectability, whatever term you want to use. You know, sometimes the baseball gods tap you on the shoulder before even you think it's going to happen. And last year was that year for the Braves. And I think the challenge for them is, as we said, in a division that has dramatically improved, how do the Braves keep pace with that, number one? And then number two, how do they manage the expectations of defending their title? The cynics will say, well, the Braves won the division because the Mets were injured, the Nationals weren't good, the Marlins were rebuilding, et cetera, et cetera, and the Phillies fell apart. All of that's true. But at the end of the day, the Braves were the team that won it, and I think that those guys in that locker room are going to play with a chip on their shoulder and say, hey, we're good and we're going to stay good, and we don't really care what everybody else did. We won the division because nobody else could do that. And I think that's the right attitude to have. And I think the additions that you guys mentioned before I came on, Josh Donaldson, for example, is a big step in that direction.
I'm not sure, Chip, that I agree with that. The naysayers out there who say the Braves didn't win the division after the debacle of what happened in that game against Boston, you know, on that Sunday night when they had to fly across country. From that point on, whatever happened on that flight, that team was a different team. That team went out and won the division. I don't care what happened to Philadelphia; they took it to the Phillies. That team won that division title.
Oh yeah, I agree, and I'm not saying that that's my sentiment in any way, shape, or form, and I want to be clear about that. But there are people who say, "Well, the Braves, you know, they won the division, but
and let them
that caveat that's there, right?
Yeah, I mean, right.
That's the part that if I'm in that locker room, I'm one of those guys that's okay. We'll show you the but and go out and do it. I think they'll do that this year.
All right. So many questions here, Chip. Let's start with there's been a lot of chatter as to where Ronald Acuña is going to bat in the lineup. Hey, what do you expect out of him in his sophomore year? You know, what kind of numbers do you think he could put up, and where do you think he's going to hit?
Well, I think that's going to be up to Brian Snitker. I think, the way the game is played now, you put your first three or four best hitters in your lineup, 1, 2, 3, 4, in whatever order you want to put them. If Ender Inciarte turns into the Ender Inciarte that he was 2 years ago and that he was in the second half of the year, he's a terrific leadoff man. You could have Donaldson hitting second, Freeman third, Acuña fourth. You've got a ton of power. You've got speed. You've got durability. You've got flexibility. You go left, right through the lineup. That's one option, although it's hard to argue with what Ronald did in the second half out of a leadoff spot. And then you've got to figure out, okay, where do Albies and Ender and Brian McCann fit? The thing that's so exciting about that, I would assume from Brian Snitker's standpoint, is that there are many more options now as to how to construct his lineup this year than there were last year. And I think that's what was most notable to me in the playoffs, was the depth and flexibility that the Dodgers had. And that's really the way the game has changed now. You have wave after wave of guys who could possibly start every game for other clubs sitting and lying in wait for you when the game changes or on a every other day basis. And I think the Braves have addressed that. I love the idea of Camargo getting a lot of at-bats and reps at different positions. I think he's going to flourish in that role. You know what Charlie Culberson can do. Braves like their catching tandem of Flowers and McCann. Donaldson's going to get a few blows at third base, so you can plug Camargo in there or at shortstop. So Brian's going to have a lot of options. You'll probably see a lot of different lineups, which is good. And I'm excited about the lineup. I'm excited about the run scoring ability and the quick strike capability of this group, much more so than last year.
You know, speaking of the way that baseball is evolving, there's a lot of free agents out there, mainly Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. Why do you think that these guys are still without a club right now?
Well, I think owners have gotten smarter. You know, the days of the George Steinbrenners and the Gussie Bushes and the O'Malleys going out and, you know, saying, hey, whose wallet is bigger and having those kinds of free agent contests, those days are over. And it seems to me that the players who complain about metrics being used to evaluate their worth and their future worth are the same guys that are using metrics to tout their worth right now. General managers and managers and management have gotten a lot smarter. And I like what Rob Manfred said the other day. At the end of the day, the market has changed, and the way that players and the way the game is evaluated from the eyes of a front office has changed dramatically. Justin Verlander is upset. A lot of other players are upset, apparently, that the economics right now aren't bending in the direction that they would like. Well, last time I checked, the players and owners negotiated collectively a bargain that they have both agreed to. And all of a sudden, now the unintended consequences aren't necessarily benefiting the players the way that they would like. Jim Bowden said the other day, the average annual value of a Major League Baseball contract has gone down somewhat this year. But once Harper and Machado sign, those numbers are going to go up again. The game's never been healthier. The players are making money. The owners are making money. The fans are enjoying the product. I hope that cooler heads will prevail 3 years before the end of this current labor situation, and we can get back to talking about balls and strikes and not millionaires and billionaires arguing over whose piece of the pie is bigger.
Voice of the Braves, Chip Carey, joining us this morning live as we get ready for the Braves' first workout on Thursday, spring training opener against the Mets on Saturday. A couple of questions about spring training in a moment, but this is just me, Chip. I covet the idea of Kimbrel coming back to the Braves. I don't know if they can work it out. But as constructed, I asked the question last week, can this Braves team win the World Series? And that includes what I still consider to be the one issue that hasn't really been addressed enough for my liking, and that's the bullpen. How do we stand right now in terms of that, in your opinion?
Well, I think the Braves like what they have down there. My question is, okay, you've got guys who haven't done it before over the full season. A.J. Minter has a terrific arm. He's got great stuff. Hasn't done it before. Aroldis Vizcaino has a terrific arm. He's hurt a lot. Shane Carl, guys like that have shown flashes of brilliance but faded down the stretch. There's two ways of looking at it. How do you justify paying a closer who's going to pitch in maybe 60 or 70 games $15 to $20 million when you have other needs that you need to address as well? That's the rub, I think, economically that a lot of teams face. Would the Braves or any other team like to have Craig Kimbrel? I would assume so. The guy's a terrific closer. He would certainly solidify a very deep and very talented and very young bullpen. But whether or not the Braves want to allocate those resources there is way above my pay grade. But, yeah, heck, as a Braves fan, as a baseball fan, I'd love to see a guy like Craig Kimbrel on my roster. I'd love to see Clayton Kershaw and Justin Verlander on my roster, too.
All right, fair enough.
But, you know, it has to make sense for both sides.
You know, as a Braves fan, Chip, I have to ask you, because John has, if you don't know, my partner has lofty expectations and high expectations for this club coming up this season. So I'm going to ask you the question that he's been asking everybody else. Presently constructed, can the Braves make it to the World Series? And if not, what do they need, in your opinion? What do they need on their roster to get to that level?
Well, first of all, you have to be one of the eight teams to get to the dance. You have to get into the playoffs, and then anything can happen. It's like hockey. You get a hot goaltender, and anything's possible. So, yes, the Braves, as currently constructed, I think can get to the playoffs. Personally speaking, I would love to see the Braves or any team in the position that the Braves are in kind of adopt the strategy the Cubs did. They went out and got John Lester a little early, and John Lester was kind of the mother duck, as you will, who taught all the other ducklings, do what I do, and this is how we're going to do things here. And he solidified and legitimized a rotation. He was a guy that you could give the ball in game one or game two of a playoff series and know you had a chance to win the game. I think the Braves have a ton of young pitching talent, as we know, but as I said before regarding the bullpen, they haven't really done it before. They're going to take big steps forward. I have no concerns at all that Newcomb and Fulton-Evich are going to continue to develop and these other youngsters are going to do it. But having that guy that you know has been in those bright light situations before, personally speaking, I think is invaluable. You can never have enough pitching, as we saw last year. Young guys, old guys, they get hurt, they go down. But, a number one, a dude, as Brian Snitker has said, a dude at the top of your rotation is something that every team wishes they had. And maybe Mike Fulton-Evich is going to be that guy this year coming off an all-star season. He certainly has the stuff. He's certainly grown up a lot. As we've seen so often, this is a show me business. Until you've done it, nobody knows for sure that you can. And for a team that I think wants to take that next step forward and win a playoff series for the first time in heck, 19 years or 18 years. Having that dude at the top, I think, would help everybody feel really, really good about their chances.
Right. One final question to Chip Carey. Biggest spring training battle that I see, if you go Foldy, Nuke, Gausman, Tehran, is that fifth starter spot. Okay, you got Soroka, Tukey, Ian Anderson, Kyle Wright, and others. Who wins? Mm-hmm. Who's going to win?
Whoever pitches best.
Okay.
Simple as that.
That's not the politically correct answer, but that's reality. And, you know, the thing about the fifth starter is, you know, with off days and stuff during the season, that fifth starter usually doesn't pitch until game 12 or game 13 because, you know, you have off days and you probably will have some bad weather mixed in along the way. So that part of it is not as big an issue, I think. It's, I think, depth. I think bullpen depth. It wouldn't surprise me if the Braves do this year exactly what they did last year and make a couple of moves right before opening day. Remember, they got Ryan Flaherty at the last minute and Peter Borges at the last minute, and those two guys played huge instrumental roles in the first couple of weeks of the season. So with all those free agents, John, that you mentioned out there, there are going to be some jobs open. There are going to be some opportunities for guys to come in and maybe show up in places nobody expected to have happen, and that's exciting too. So off we go. As you said, first workout in a couple of days, first games this weekend. So it's a great time to be a baseball fan.
Chip, you're always welcome, and we are really looking forward. I'm excited about this team. I know you are too. Thanks.
You're the man,
you,
Chip. Too.
Thanks, guys.
Chip Carey joining us.
Talk soon.
All right. As we get ready for the first game against Saturday. Chip, as constructed, can they make the playoffs? Of course they can. You know, and that race, you know, I didn't even mention Bryce Wilson or Kobe Allard. I mean, they have so many good young arms down in the minors that it'll be interesting because, Hugh, the way this team, you know what? The way this team wins the World Series as constructed, I said the fifth starter. How about two of those guys? Tukey, Soroka.
Step up.
Two. Not one, but two.
And that's what they would.
And become men.
That's what they were kind of hoping for. Well, not hoping for. That's why they brought them up last year to try to help them, you know, get a little bit of that tutelage.
Yep. A little taste.
That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, a little taste. Get a little taste.
Yep.
That'll work. Taste. The taste.
Because, you know, we saw a lot of things to like about especially Tukey and Soroka last year. Let's see more from the rest. All right, it is a really busy week getting ready. There is news popping right now, and Antonio Brown has said something that you need to hear, and NFL.com is reporting it. This is interesting.
And the Hawks All-Star break continues until Friday when they take on the Pistons. Pre-game coverage begins at 7 here on 92.9 The Game. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, I'm Tanitra Batiste from the Kia Studios on your home for Thursday's Atlanta United match versus Reggiano in the CONCACAF Champions League. Kickoff at 10. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
This is John and Hugh.
All right, let's get it on.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. The NFL's very, very, very interesting offseason continuing today. February 19th is the first day that players can be tagged. Now, you need to know a couple of things, Hugh. Number one is that tomorrow, I'm going to jump to tomorrow. Tomorrow at noon in Flowery Branch, Dan Quinn and new offensive coordinator Dirk Cutter are going to hold a news conference.
The state of the team.
And that'll be interesting. We'll certainly have that. That'll be really interesting to hear all that sound. Starting today until it ends on March 5th, which is over the next 18 days or so, you have a couple of weeks. You have a period of time where you can tag players, franchise tag players. Now, according to Adam Schefter, says there could be at least 10 players that receive some form of a tag, and here's his list: DeMarcus Lawrence, Jadeveon Clowney, Dee Ford, Frank Clark, Grady Jarrett, Landon Collins, Nick Foles, Le'Veon Bell, Donovan Smith, Robbie Gould, and Steven Gostkowski. Now, Gould and Gostkowski are both kickers, obviously, and what San Francisco are trying to do, keep Robbie Gould from Chicago, I guess. There are tag and trades in there. You know, I mean, Nick Foles is like a tag and trade, and Le'Veon Bell is a tag and trade, you know?
Yeah, both of those guys are, Nick Foles especially, because – the Eagles are going to try to get something. They just don't want to let him go. They just don't want to go to let him go in the free agency. So that's going to be one where you're going to try to get something for him. Le'Veon Bell is another guy. I don't – honestly, And I know Adam Schefter does his due diligence, and he probably knows more NFL execs and has people that, that are giving him the dirt more so than me. I don't see the Falcons franchise tagging Grady Jarrett. To me, that just that does not send the right message. To me, that screams that y'all ain't in the same stratosphere as far as money negotiations are concerned.
Right.
Because there has been talks over the last few weeks saying that they have been in not so much negotiation, they've been communicating. Let me just say that. They've been communicating. So that to me screams that the communication has broken down. Y'all don't want to give him what he's worth, and he's threatening to leave. Bottom line. Hopefully that's not the case. They've been real tight-lipped about this whole Grady Jarrett situation and how they want to handle this. But I'll tell you, this is an easy formula. Fletcher Cox and Aaron Donald, they live in the same neighborhood, probably in the same subdivision, same cul-de-sac. Grady Jarrett needs to be as close to that cul-de-sac as you could possibly get him. He might not be in the cul-de-sac, but he's going to be on that street that leads to their cul-de-sac. Like, you're going to probably have to make a left or right turn, whichever way you want to turn, into the cul-de-sac to get to their house. But his house needs to be on that corner. His house needs to be in the corner or the second house on that street leading to their cul-de-sac. It needs to be they need to be able to see each other. He needs to be able to see in one of their backyard.
Well, we've seen the good and the bad, or rather the non-harmful and the harmful effects of franchise tags over the last couple of years. The harmful, obviously, is Le'Veon Bell, who just sat out and said, I'm not going to play, and gave up. Think about what Le'Veon Bell gave up last year, $14.5 million. That's a lot. The non-harmful is Aaron Donald, because over the last 2 years, Aaron Donald, he didn't get that long-term contract. He played under two back-to-back tags and still flourished.
He didn't like it, though.
He didn't like it.
But he did
make a ton of bread.
Yeah, he did. But he's still taking a chance. Like, you don't want to take that chance. He took the chance, and he came out on the other side of it extra cheesy. No question about it. But you don't want to take that chance. I don't think Grady Jarrett wants to do that. Don't know for sure, but I don't think he wants to do that. I don't think that he wants to have that hanging over his head. I mean, and besides, man, he's already put in the work. What, fifth round draft pick? And if you want to get real about this situation, he has outperformed the same draft pick that he got drafted by in the same year on the same squad. He's outperformed Vic Beasley.
Oh yeah,
he's outperformed him.
Right, I agree.
So you need to pay him what he's worth. He came into the league lower draft pick. They found a diamond in the rough. He has exceeded expectations. Pay him. Bottom line, this should be a no-brainer. Now, I understand that you know, me sitting here saying it's no-brainer, it's not that easy, because I'm pretty sure that he wants to be paid like one of those top D tackles. But if you look at it, John, and what he's been able to do and what he means to this team, he might not be the pass rusher that those two guys are, but he's just as important to his team as those two guys are to their respective team.
I totally agree.
So it's one of those things.
You're not going to get me to, yeah, pay. You got to pay him. I agree. I mean, I hope that they can get a deal done that will be long-term and that.
And who's his agent? What's his name? Ty France?
Yep.
Hey, Ty France got two of the top D tackles in the game. Ty France is going to do his job.
Mm-hmm.
Ty France is going to get his client paid. Pay the man.
Yeah, pay the man. I agree, and I hope they do. I don't want to see him get tagged. If for no other reason than, you know, I mean, not that, see, Grady wouldn't put a Le'Veon and not play.
No, I don't think he'd do that.
And Grady would play as hard as he does, whether he gets a contract or not. It's just.
They're banking on that.
I think.
But then again, maybe, I don't know. I mean, maybe Grady shows him how bad he's missed. Maybe he'd do that. I mean, I think when you, like I said, I don't know what the relationship is between the two. I don't think it's bad. I think it's pretty good. But if you franchise tag this man after everything he's done, I don't think that sends the message that you want to send to your team. It really doesn't.
Yeah, that's my concern. That, see, when you start getting into franchise tagging, look, again, we'll just use the Pittsburgh Steelers as the, you know, with Le'Veon Bell sitting out was the beginning. I mean, Antonio Brown was already kind of running amok up there anyway. But the Le'Veon Bell situation kind of spiraled out of control. And remember all of the locker room issues with the players who were grumbling about Le'Veon not being there, and Pouncey, calling him out. And then, you know, it's like one thing led to another with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we don't want that here. As to Antonio Brown, on Instagram Live this morning, okay, here's Antonio Brown, this morning. Ready? He says, on Instagram Live, he says this: if your team got guaranteed money, they want to get to know me and work with me, tell them to call me. And he says, I don't want to be known as AB anymore. I want to be known as Mr. Big Chest.
Mr. Big Chest.
Big Chest.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
But.
Just money, I guess.
I understand. Okay, no, I don't understand. I'm not about to say that. Basically, nobody can talk to him about what? What are they going to talk to him about? Nobody can talk to Antonio Brown. He's not a free agent. He's not. So what is he saying? They can require about a trade. Can't nobody talk to Antonio Brown, man.
In your opinion, is he worth the headache?
In this day and age, AT, I would probably say no. And let me say, and I'm saying this from a perspective of a guy that lives here in Atlanta that follows the Falcons, if you catch my drift. Because as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, if I was that, or if I was in Pittsburgh following him, I might feel a little bit differently about that. But when you look at it at the optics of it, on the outside looking in, and then you could even look at some of the contributions from him this year. I think Juju Smith was a huge contribution for them. And I'm thinking they're probably looking at it like, hey, you know, we could probably heap a little bit more on you. I would say no. This NFL is not like it used to be. It ain't like it used to be back in the day when you had these receivers that would talk out of place. And teams would deal with them because they're just that much of a talent. I don't think that's the situation with Pittsburgh. And not only that, look at the issues that they just had or still having with Le'Veon Bell. They don't need both of these cats on there doing that, man. They don't need both of these cats bucking the system.
Because this is the way I look at Antonio right now. If you're willing to deal with him, a team other than the Steelers, you're almost going to have to force him or put in his contract that he stays off of social media because it's his worst enemy.
But this is the thing. This has been spiraling out of control for like, what, the last three, four years? This started with the playoff run in the locker room. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, if you want to go back and look at the history of the Steelers and this cat and the way he's been wilding out, this starts back in the locker room, John. This is going back to when he got in trouble for Snapchatting or whatever it was in the locker room right after the game. Facebook Live. Didn't Coach say something out of pocket that people got wind of? Yeah. It started way back when.
He's not a free agent until 2022. And he says this morning again on Instagram Live, AB says, if your team got guaranteed money, tell them to call me. Well, guess what his guaranteed money is this year with the Pittsburgh Steelers with his base and his roster bonus? His guaranteed money this year is $15.1 million. Wait a second. You got guaranteed money. You're not a free agent until 2020.
No, but he's probably saying, John, guaranteed money that can trade for him, that they can take.
No,
that.
I understand that. Yeah. But, I mean, if you're worried about guaranteed money, dude, you're set to make $15.1 million this year.
Yeah, and he wants that from some other team. He wants somebody to take over.
I know. He wants somebody else to take it. He wants out of Pittsburgh. And at this point, if I'm the Steelers and I can find a partner, I may do that. Just to make go away. I mean, at this point, more trouble than you're worth. Wow. It's going to be an interesting day. It's going to be an interesting – man, it already is. What am I talking about? We'll catch up with the very latest next as we continue with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Killing it online. Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, so a lot of kind of clear up from the show today here, just briefly.
What'd you say that you got clear up?
Well, just a couple of things. One is I was just looking up because I was curious. Grady Jarrett made $615,000 2 years ago, made $1.9 million last year. The tag this year for that position at defensive tackle is estimated to be $14.5 million. That's going to be the tag. That's what they're estimating anyway. Approximately $14.5 million for the tag. So, again, I hope they don't do it. I was just bringing that along, and just he's about to see more money than he's ever seen before in his entire life, that's for sure. But I would hope that they would get him a
– deservingly so. I mean, contract. It's like it's one of those things. He worked for it, and he deserves it. So, yeah, he's put himself in position to do that.
You know, and it's going to be a wild offseason for the NFL too, because if some players fall into the market, what's going to happen to them? Because we don't know what's going to happen to those guys. The bidding wars could be intense if some teams just decide they don't want to tag players. What's going to happen with Le'Veon Bell? The Antonio Brown one is just weird, though. I mean, I guess he thinks he can force them to trade him. And then
Antonio Brown feels like the grass is green on the other side, John. And he's about to find out. I think he's putting himself in a position where he's about to find out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's going to be a thing where it'd be interesting to see where he ends up. If you're Pittsburgh, would you send him to? He wants to go to San Francisco, right? Okay.
Well, he wants to go anywhere that they're going to pay. He kind of said that.
Right.
You know, I know the Jerry Rice thing was a part of it, and I know Jerry said that he wants to be there, but he's going to go wherever they're paying.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wherever they want to pick up that contract and honor that contract, and he wants to go somewhere else and be a nuisance to them, I guess. I mean, he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. But he is you get everything you get with him. You know what you're getting. So if he comes to your place and creates a problem, you know, that's on you. And to think that the Raiders had said, we'd be interested in him. You had Amari Cooper.
It still might be, but when you hear the stories about Amari Cooper and you talk to people that were a part of that, Amari Cooper didn't want to put in the work to be a Raider. I think the best thing for Amari Cooper and the Raiders, I'm just telling you what I heard. Don't shoot the messenger because I know Dale's a Raiders fan, and most Raiders fans aren't trying to probably hear this. But what I was told was that Amari Cooper didn't want to put in the work he needed to put in to be an elite receiver. The best move for Amari was to probably go to the Dallas Cowboys. He was a much better receiver there. That's the way that I heard. The same thing with Khalil Mack was that with Khalil Mack, he wasn't going to sign that money. They weren't going to be able to sign him. So they were trying to get something for him. That's the word on the streets.
Well, it's going to be interesting tomorrow because there's a news conference tomorrow at noon at Flowery Branch with all the three coordinators. The new coordinators, all three new coordinators are going to be there. Your new special teams coordinator, Ben Kotwicka, and, of course, the new offensive coordinator, Indirk Cutter, and the new defensive coordinator, who also happens to be the head coach, in Dan Quinn. So there are going to be a lot of questions asked at that noon newser in Flowery Branch.
I think,
tomorrow.
You know what's funny, John, for the most part, in news conferences, they're kind of controlled. I don't see this being no different. This news conference is going to be no different than any other. I think there's going to be a few questions there about what's the state of the team. Maybe my man Triple OG is going to ask about Big Beasley, what's going to happen with him. But for the most part, I think it's going to be kind of controlled.
And you're right. They may not offer up anything. It may just be vague. But I think they have to, at least address some of the elephants in the room about, what they're planning to do. I mean, a major overhaul on this team.
Ryan
major
Schrader.
Overhaul.
Well, when you say major, the biggest one was Matt Bryant. You would think at this point that somebody on that offensive line would be cut by now. But that ain't been the case.
Right.
So not too major. Because you still, if you're looking at it from a fan's perspective, you're getting rid of some folks on the wrong side of the ball.
But there are other questions. We can talk about it a little bit more tomorrow, but there are other questions I would have. Is Keanu Neal going to be 100% ready for camp? What about Rico Allen?
Nope.
What about Brandon Fusco and Andy Levitre?
Probably.
What are they? Are they going to be 100%? I mean, I think there was some thought that Keanu could be ready for camp, but I don't know.
No, he'd be ready, but I'm sorry, John. I guess when I think of ready, I'm talking about like the Keanu Neal of old. It's going to take a while for him to get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm looking at it.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, you got to get back
in
the game
for Rico.
Shape,
right? Rico, too, is going to be a while.
Yeah, because
they're going to be ready to go.
Yeah, we missed Rico in that locker room. And there's no question that and the most underrated – everybody talks about all the injuries, Debo and the offensive line and Keanu, but you have no idea how much that team missed Rico. They really did. He was that kind of guy to them. And people, Rico Allen. Rico Allen was really important to that defense. Really important. He was basically the quarterback of the defense.
Agreed.
So in a lot of ways. So there's that. Today there's a news conference up at the training ground in Marietta for Atlanta United. Coach DeBoer and a few of the players are going to be there. I'm going to swing up for that. And then they get ready to go out tomorrow and fly to Costa Rica. And they're going to do this Costa Rica thing, Hugh, in and out. Boom. They're going to fly into Costa Rica tomorrow night. They're going to get ready. They're going to play Thursday night, and they're going to fly right back home.
Yeah, that's no fun. But, I mean, I understand this is a business trip, and you have to treat it as such. And it sounds like Atlanta United is doing just that.
Yeah, and just talking to Mike Conte.
No time to shower. He's in and out.
Yeah, he's getting ready. Mike Conte's getting ready to go. He's going to be broadcasting again tomorrow night, 10 o'clock. Rather, Thursday night, pardon me, 10 o'clock kick between Atlanta United and Eric Deano. And I'm not expecting much because that's, it sounds like we're going to get jobbed by the referees. So that's okay. We'll get them here.
Well, like I said, if you outscore them, then you don't have to worry about that. I think it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough sled, no question about it. But I think if you can outscore them, you can win.
Man, look at all of what's going on, you. I mean, you've got Legends playing. You've got Folds of Honor. The Braves are starting. Atlanta United. The Hawks are playing at home.
Yeah, but how long are the
Falcons
holding
news
be playing?
Yeah, I know. Should we worry about whether the league is going to be able to make it?
Why be worried? Why are we worried? Hey, tell me why we worried. Hell, I didn't invest in Atlanta. Okay. I didn't invest in the AL. Okay. Did you?
No, that wasn't a you and I.
Did I miss
that? That was not a royal we.
No.
Right? That was like collective we of America.
But John, you was like, should we worry? Why the hell am I worried about what millionaires doing?
Never. I tell you who I am worried about, though. Do you know the person? I was telling Daryl this. Do you know the person that won the billion lottery
a while ago? Still ain't claimed the money.
Hasn't claimed the money yet.
I threw the ticket away.
I read a story over the weekend. There's a conspiracy theory out there that there was no winner. Because apparently, according to this conspiracy theory, and I don't know this, this is just a theory, it's just tin hat thing. The people are saying that the money gets redistributed back to the states.
I heard that. Yeah.
And so the states, so let's say that Georgia sold $50 million of those lottery tickets, or $60 million, that Georgia would suddenly get a check for $50 or $60 million, boop, right in your coffers. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, there's $60 million we didn't expect. Thanks for that.
So they can always say to someone won and...
Wait a minute. I heard it, but I thought it went back. It don't go back into the drawing?
No. It gets redistributed
terrible.
To certain states.
That's terrible.
Yeah. and the person's office, the grocery store that sold it, they won't get their $50,000.
When do they have till?
I think it's anywhere from two weeks to a month.
Oh, yeah.
It's approaching.
Yeah. I don't believe the conspiracy theory. I think the ticket was actually sold, and
somebody lost it.
But what gets me is if they know the store, right, Hugh,
mm-hmm.
and they know the time because they'll know exactly when it was kicked out. What does the video show?
The time stamp.
Yeah, I mean the video's got to show something, and facial recognition would be able to tell you pretty much who that person is, or at least get close. Or you put the person's picture out. Do you know this person? They won the lottery, but I guess you can't do that. I mean, if they want to be anonymous, it depends. But they're telling the lottery winner, because my guess is the lottery winner doesn't even realize they won the lottery.
They lost the ticket.
They lost the ticket or didn't think they won.
I don't know. You're not aware of
that. That's why you don't do paper tickets. Go electronic. That's the only paper ticket I don't want. Give me my tickets in my hand, but the rest of them.
If you bought a ticket for that mega lottery and you weren't paying attention that night, ooh-wee.
Or he misread the ticket or. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine that there's a person out there that actually won $1.5 billion? I hope for that person's sake that they don't realize it. Because you would never come back from that. You would just destroy your life. Rick and John, top of the hour. They're getting ready. Man, is it going to be a fun week to talk to you on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.